Thank you. This morning's reading is taken from Luke, chapter 15, verses 3 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Colin. I'm going to pray for Jo as she comes to speak to us. Yeah, Father, thank you for Jo. Lord, thank you for her love for you, Lord, that she knows you intimately. And Lord, I pray that you would just give her boldness as she brings the word you've given her. Lord, we eagerly anticipate all she has to say. And Lord, we will press in, Lord, to hear from you. Lord, I just pray again against any distractions from the building work or any noises. Lord, may your voice be the loudest to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Debs. Right, it's great to be with you this morning. I wonder if you've ever lost something very precious to you. I'm sure you have. Yesterday, I found an article online, and it was about stories of people who thought they'd lost something forever and then found it again. And the most interesting one was of a woman who'd lost a ring while she was gardening. And 16 years later, when she was pulling up carrots, she found it stuck in the carrot. And the weirdest thing was, there were three other stories exactly the same in this list with photos of the different rings and the different carrots. I thought, that is crazy. So this is just a little message to you that if you ever lose a ring while you're gardening, plant some carrot seeds. I wonder what you have lost and then found again. Maybe it was a wallet or a precious piece of jewelry, or maybe even worse, you lost a pet at some point. I never offer to walk people's dogs because I'm terrified of losing their precious pet. Today's parables are two of the most loved stories in the Bible. And in the Bible, they're called the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. But my talk today is entitled, Jesus Loves a Party. Because although the stories are about finding something that's lost, it's also about how Jesus loved having parties and making friends with people who were on the edges of society. The second verse in the passage that was read says, "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" In Middle Eastern culture at that time, and even today in the Middle East, eating with people is a huge deal. It meant much more than just associating with someone. It was actually about accepting them and saying that you're really good friends. And through the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus hanging out with people who were considered unacceptable by society. In Luke 7, verse 34, Jesus says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." I'd say that's pretty solid evidence that Jesus liked a good party. But the respectable religious people didn't like the fact that Jesus liked parties, or rather they didn't like the people that Jesus used to party with. So I wonder if any of you today have ever had a party with prostitutes. Well, it's a bit shocking, isn't it? Actually, I've had lots of parties with prostitutes, and that is truth. I lived in China for many years, and during that time, I was involved with a Christian organization called the Starfish Project. And we used to go out and visit girls in brothels, and we used to invite them to have parties with us, to come for cups of tea and cake, and just to get to know them. And I remember at Christmas time, one Christmas we organized this party, and we went out delivering invitations. And then the day of the party came, and we'd been praying, we'd been really excited about it. And we'd got a lovely Christmas tree, and we'd made a homemade cake, and we'd got some games ready, and we'd even got oranges and candles to make Christingles. And the best thing was we'd got costumes so that we could try them on and act out the Christmas story, and we had a video of the Christmas story to show them. And we waited, and we waited, and we thought, are they going to come? And 10 minutes went by, and we were like, are they going to come? And then they came, 15 of them, and we had the best party ever. Yeah, it was a really interesting party, but it was so special to be able to share with them the good news of Jesus. In the previous chapter, chapter 14, today we read chapter 15. In chapter 14, Jesus has just told the story of the banquet and inviting the outcast in and being included in the kingdom of God. And Luke's gospel is full of these stories of Jesus reaching out to those on the outside and inviting them in. So then in chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories to explain why he is eating and drinking with sinners. With sinners. He tells the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And today we're looking at the first two stories. And it's basically the same storyline. Someone has a bunch of stuff, sheep or coins. They lose one. They search and search. They find it again. And then they're full of joy. And heaven has a party too. The story of the lost sheep fits in well with the culture that Jesus lived in. People in Palestine were very familiar with shepherds and sheep and would have understood exactly what it meant to be a shepherd and the risks involved in losing a precious sheep. But the unusual thing about this story is that the shepherd is not very sensible. In fact, he's really reckless. He loses a sheep and then he leaves the 99, and it says in the open country, and he goes looking for the lost sheep. That was a crazy thing to do. But his love for the lost sheep is reckless and relentless, and he'll do anything to bring it back home. The people listening to the story would have been familiar with the idea that God is a shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, it shows that God is a shepherd. He says, I look after my sheep. I will search the lost and bring back the strays. And in Jesus' parable, once the shepherd finds the sheep, he puts it on his shoulders. That is quite something. Maybe 70 kilograms or 70 pounds maybe of sheep on his shoulders. And he carries it all the way home. And then he invites all his neighbors and friends and says, come and rejoice with me. Maybe they had some lab kebabs. That's not in the Bible. It's just a little suggestion. But Jesus follows the story of the lost sheep with the story of the lost coin, which is essentially the same story. But this is really interesting because the main character in the story is a woman. And we read that and we think, oh, fine, a woman. But in Jesus' time, you never made the central character a woman. Women were on the outside of society. They weren't considered so important. And the woman has lost a coin. And this coin might have been part of a special set, a dowry. That's what the commentators say. And she would have been devastated to lose it. So she searched and she searched. And she lit a lamp. So in those days, the houses would have been quite dark with not many windows. She lit a lamp and she searched until she found the coin. Obviously, if she'd lost a ring, she'd have been in the garden pulling carrots. But she was hunting in her house for her lost coin. And when she found it, she called her friends to celebrate with her. They had a bit of a party, I should think. I wonder what sort of parties you have and what you normally celebrate when you have a party. I wonder if you've had a birthday party thrown for you, a surprise birthday party maybe. The Starfish Project in China, we set up a jewellery company so that the girls from the brothels could come out and find alternative work. And whenever one of the girls from the company had a birthday, we used to make a homemade cake and we'd get her a present and we'd get a card and everybody would sign it. And I always remember the new girls to the company when it came round for their birthday and it was their first birthday in the company and we made them a cake. So many of them would cry because no one had ever celebrated their birthday before. Nobody had ever given them a cake. Celebrating together is a way that we show people that we love them, isn't it? Jesus said, "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." In saying this, he's showing that God is involved with what is happening on earth. He's interested and he rejoices. We're so familiar with these stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin that they don't have the impact on us that they would have had on the hearers of the stories for the first time in Jesus' day. The idea of God searching out somebody to bring them home would have been an alien concept. The understanding that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had, that you needed to follow the law, you needed to do all the right things, you needed to go into the temple and offer all the right sacrifices and do all the religious stuff, and then perhaps God would accept you. The idea of God going out to find sinners and bring them home would have been very strange and foreign to them. But that's what Jesus was saying. So who are these two stories aimed at? Did Jesus tell them to the tax collectors and to the sinners to make them feel comforted that God loved them? Or did he tell these stories to the Pharisees and the tax collectors in order to challenge them? I think probably both. We know it was the sinners and the tax collectors who were gathering around to hear Jesus. And so they would have been listening and they would have been really comforted by the stories. But Jesus tells the stories in response to the comments that he's heard from the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They were disgusted that Jesus was hanging out with these people. So the parables are clearly also aimed at them. And what is God's message to them? Well, Jesus is basically explaining why he hangs out with these people. It's because these are exactly the type of people that God goes out to look for. In verse 7, Jesus says, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than on 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." And this is a little bit of gentle irony here. Because Jesus is really saying, you Pharisees, you teachers of the law, you don't think you need to repent. But actually you do. Some of the girls at the Starfish Company, over a period of time, they became Christians, which was really, really exciting. And we really wanted them to be able to go to church to find out more about Jesus. So I spoke to a Chinese friend of mine who'd been a volunteer in the project, and she was also a church pastor. And so I asked her, "Would you mind if some of the girls from the church, from our project went to your church?" And she looked at me for a little while and she kind of went, "Oh, I'll think about it." And she came back to me and she said, "No, I don't think it would be suitable. We're not sure what the girls would wear. and whether their behaviour would be unacceptable, and it might affect the faith of some of the Christians in the church. I'm sure you're familiar with the proverb, bad company corrupts good character. But I don't think Jesus would agree. In these parables, Jesus teaches exactly the opposite, that religious people should go out and associate with people and mix with bad company. We are the salt. We are the light. But I wonder if we'd been around in Jesus' time, whether we might have been a bit disapproving of some of the company that he kept. Maybe we'd have been uncomfortable with it. And I wonder if Jesus was around today where he'd hang out. Would he be safely inside Christ Church? Or would he be outside? Would he be looking for those who don't fit in to church society? Jesus starts his story about the lost sheep with, suppose one of you had 100 sheep. Suppose one of you. That's quite interesting, isn't it? He's not saying, oh, suppose there was a shepherd. He says, suppose one of you had 100 sheep. What would you do? It's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? He's saying to the people around him, are you going to go out and look for the lost sheep? And he's saying the same to us. The challenge to all of us, and myself included, I live in a little Christian bubble at Trinity College. And it's really hard to meet people who are not Christians. But this has challenged me preparing this talk. Can I mix and mingle a bit more? Perhaps I can go and sit in a coffee shop and just get chatting to somebody. Perhaps even here at the Spire, there are people who come in off the street and we can chat to them and talk to them. Or perhaps we can chat to people at work or in the shops or on the bus. I've got a friend called Sylvia back at my old church. You'll know her, Jackie. And she is just a gossip of the gospel. She does it on the buses. She rides the buses and she chats to people and she gets to know people. And I remember there's several people in our church who are at our church because they met Sylvia on the bus. And then I remember my dad, when he was really elderly and he needed 2 sticks to get into town. He used to go into town regularly and he'd always chat to a homeless guy on the streets who was from Romania. And he sold the Big Issue, one of the Big Issue sellers, this guy from Romania. And my dad would always buy one of his magazines. But more than that, he'd have a chat to him and really listen to him. And my dad passed away some years ago. And just after he passed away, I heard that this man had got baptized. And dad would have been so thrilled. But apparently lots of Christians used to stop and chat to him. And the love that they showed him and just the time that they gave him made such a difference to his life. We know that Jesus wasn't embarrassed to hang out with those who are rejected by society. And the story of the lost sheep is a story of God's reckless love going out to rescue the lost. And it's the story of his amazing love for us. He's carried us home, and he loves us totally and unconditionally. What a blessing. Let's just let that sink in for a minute. How much he loves us. How much he loves you. How much he loves me. And when we know we are accepted and loved by the God of the whole universe, we don't need to worry about what others think about us, what they think about who we're hanging out with. And it also changes the way we look at other people. We see them as somebody loved by God, someone infinitely precious to our Saviour. And as we look at them, our hearts can become bigger and better and kinder. That person, or perhaps even that group of people, Up until now, we may not have even noticed them. But let's look out for those people in this coming week. And maybe just think about who God might be putting on your heart and what you can do. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep. What would God ask us to do? And just remember, Jesus loves having parties. And there's a party in heaven when anyone repents and believes in Jesus. Amen.